saw me. I forgot that I was out of control of my own microphone.
Yeah, because you keep telling me not to turn on your microphone. So I turned it on, then turned it off. And...
it's just instant karma for my sass. How was that? Oh, I guess that's the sound of a song. Hi. We're professionals. It's 503-733-2978. It's who recovers the show. Yeah, for the longest, I mean, we've been back, I don't know, a few months, and I haven't had control of my own microphone. Sarah's had to run everything, which, of course, I hate because I'm anal retentive and obsessive compulsive and a type A and a jerk and, you know, and an a-hole and a control freak. And so I've been nagging to give me my own microphone button. And so just now I start talking like an idiot, not having turned it on because I forget that it's right here. All right, there you go. No, I'm just I'm all agog with excitement that I've got it. Let's see. Our good friend, Gay Bob emails him. Rick, is there anyone out there who still thinks in some bizarre fantasy world that Ryan Seacrest is not gay? I don't really know the answer to that. Hey, this is a great headline. Listen to this. We'll get to this. Osmond shocked by daughter's internet sex talk. So there you go. It's got Osmond and internet and sex. Oh, and blah, 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 blah. Crave sex as many times as possible. Blah, blah, blah. Slut and whore. So we'll get to that. So there's some Osmond news. And it's Osmond MySpace news. Yeah, so that's all coming up. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up bottom of the hour, we got CNN radio correspondent, bam, Gary Baumgarten, who's going to be here to talk about. Because we're coming up on the holiday weekend, which we will be here on Monday, by the way, while everybody else is foisting off crap, the same old tired best ofs and regurgitated garbage from yesteryear. We will be here because the Rick Emerson Show cares. Gary Baumgarten. Gonna be talking about the, apparently one third of blah, 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 blah. One third of drivers surveyed by Consumer Reports are unhappy with their car. They want a more fuel efficient car. No, they don't. They don't, because if you wanted a more fuel efficient car, you would just buy a fuel efficient. This is a completely bogus survey.
99% of the American public is driving these gas guzzlers.
Seriously, I bought this Escalade. I just wish I could get something fuel efficient. So there you go. So we'll talk about that. What was that thing you drove that one time, that Navigator?
Oh, yeah, and it was way back when that cost me $50 to fill. It'd probably be $150 now.
Well, I talked to some, I'm not going to do a whole, how much does it cost you to fill your gas tank? But, I mean, you see those cars. Mm-hmm. I do everything I can to drive slowly in front of those cars, by the way. Just trying to get them to consume as much gas as humanly possible. I also don't let them merge. It's 503-733-2970. So that's coming up later on, Jen Lane, Barfly Magazine. Do we have more Peter Carlin news about coin? Peter Carlin of the Oregonian.
Today was 5 out of 5.
I don't know who pissed him off. Somebody poked somebody with a stick at some point, because I have never seen, God love Peter Carlin. He's our guest on Mondays. We're big fans of him. I think he's a fan of us. I just got to say that I've never really seen Carlin take an axe to anybody the way that he has taken an axe to coin this week. I don't know what that's all about. I don't know who slept with who. Who did something to who? Somebody has clearly rubbed his fur the wrong way. Because this is starting on Monday. There were 5 pieces, I guess, starting on Sunday. 5 pieces in a row documenting in minute detail the failings of Coin Television and the company who owns them. I've got... Do I have the latest one? I think I pulled it. Well, we'll look for it. Anyway, it's 503... 733-2970. What else? Well, that's it. We got a bunch of other crap to get to. And then the phone calls and the more of the city desk and so forth.
What about this Osmond internet story?
You're shifting away. Here's why Tim is shifting the conversation, by the way. Because we just went to the break just now. And with the microphones go off, and Tim goes out to get coffee or whatever. And Sarah and I are like taking it into the hallway. We're totally... And I didn't even like the goddamn show. That's my point. I feel like if she wasn't at work, I would be having you call my wife, which I may do anyway. I would be having you call my wife right now on the air to have her verify that the entire time we sat on the couch watching... I just sound like a fat, stupid American, don't I? The entire time I sat on the couch watching American Idol, I was loathing it.
Rick, I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed.
Oh, stop!
And I know that if you're saying, I know that if you're saying that you watched it twice, that means that you watched it at least 4 times.
It's not true. It's totally a different conversation about when your husband gets caught putting it to a stewardess somewhere. Yeah. Baby, it was just this once. It's like, I know if he admits it once, it was 3 times.
But he was saying, I hate what this is doing to me.
Baby, I was thinking of you the whole time. It'll bring us closer together in the end. So it came on, and I will tell you though, that I, I did buckle a little bit to peer pressure. I think it's the same reason Tim probably watched it. Or maybe you really wanted to watch it. I don't know. But it's that same thing of, like, everybody on Earth will be viewing this. How can I not talk about what everybody's going to be talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. That's what it comes down to.
Totally. That was my whole
thing. I could read it and pretend that I know what I'm talking about, but I do so much of that already. I mean, I can't do it about everything.
But I mean, I haven't even seen it. I know that, you know, somebody won and they cried and then sang a moment like this. And,
no,
you
nobody
know,
sang that this time.
And then Simon Cowell scowled and Ryan Seacrest tried to pretend he wasn't gay.
I think that song used to sell SUVs now.
That really is, though. That is every, I think that's every one of those shows where it's like somebody cried and talked about a dying mother at home whose only dream was that they sing.
Totally. And then all the lights dim down and there's Ryan Seacrest who comes out with the totals of who's going to be voted off.
And which they push all the way to the very end. So late in the show that I thought for a minute my TiVo was going to cut it off. It was literally
and
at like one
panic?
One
fit.
Well, because I wanted to be able to say, like, so I was watching that show that everybody watches last night, and here's a moment that I shared with all of you in a strange fashion, you know, and I totally wanted to be, you know, not in that way, obviously, but I'm just saying, having watched it now twice, it's just, and then Prince came out. How sad was that? How depressing was it? He's Prince. He's the purple one. He's the most talented musician of a generation. There's Prince. That was a depressing moment.
It sounded like those songs needed some very careful editing or something. It didn't seem
burning.
Like they were ready yet.
And they were it's like sort of when you butted
it was
some
like your first draft.
Some bread that hasn't been cooked all the way through. Hey, this is doughy and unpleasant.
So, since you watched it and I didn't, do you think that I missed out on something?
Oh,
that,
yes.
Do you guys feel like like it was that culturally relevant that... I missed out on something for going out and having fun.
It's like you snacked up Lady Liberty's torch by not watching it.
You made the baby Jesus cry. God damn, I don't know. I just didn't want to be the only guy not knowing what the hell went on.
You know, I didn't watch it, and the first thing I saw on MSN this morning was that Taylor guy won.
I guess. I was just, you know, you never know when somebody's going to catch fire. Something's a piece of
but
equipment's gonna fall and kill
internet.
Someone, I guess. I suppose. It's but you know what, it joins the latest in a long line of things. Because you know, here's the thing about it's not just American Idol. It is this show. For a show that is so pop culture oriented, for a show where we talk about so much crap, there is so much stuff that we don't watch on this show that we probably should. I mean, if there was like a consultant, if they ever brought in a consultant for the show, the first thing he would tell us is that he would tell us, Sarah, you're going to start watching Desperate Housewives every week.
I know.
I mean, that's another... This is a perfect example. That's another show that I don't watch, but I, in a weird, dumb way, I feel like I should be. I know it sounds dumb, but we've got weird jobs, and I do feel like part of me should be watching Desperate Housewives.
Because that's where Ryan Seacrest's ex works.
Yes, and you know, I mean, and that's... And it's because, you know, it's what 40% of the audience is probably out there viewing on whatever night it's on. So... It's like, have any of us seen The Da Vinci Code?
No.
Tim? Sarah, I know, hasn't seen it.
Did you see, I tried to read the book.
Did you see The Da Vinci Code?
No, I did not.
Yeah, me either. So there you go. So we just...
Maybe this is why we keep getting fired and rehired.
Because we're just...
Because
look,
we're not doing it right.
Here are the 50 most popular things in America. Have you done any of them? And us? No. I mean... All right.
Well, we are local. I mean, we do a lot of the local stuff. Just not national. We can't all be monkeys.
We try. Please like us.
We've been trying since noontime.
Please listen to us anyway.
We have a MySpace account. Woo!
We're on the World Wide Web.
I'm wearing clothing made of cotton. All right. It's, okay. Never mind. Let's move on.
Well, let's pick another topic.
Let's pick another. I love to eat at the Olive Garden.
I ate at the Olive Garden this past weekend.
Did you?
Yeah.
That is, see, you are truly relatable now.
No, but the person I was with had a gift certificate.
I love their breadsticks.
Great breadsticks.
It's Relatable Thursday. Okay. I think we've taken this as far.
Should I go on the news websites and find out what people are talking about?
We should do that. We should find out what the buzz is.
Oh, they're still talking about the crippled horse.
Barbaro. Oh.
Talking about Barbaro.
I feel that crippled horses, they're beautiful creatures. And, it's something, Jesus, blah, 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 the family values and the,
protecting her family.
So what about the season finale of Lost?
From gays. What?
What about the season finale of Lost?
I don't know!
We don't even know who's Lost.
I don't even know! I haven't watched the show in a year. That's another one. That's at the risk of just now dragging this out. That's another show that I started watching because I felt like, you hear Peter Carlin, he reams me every Monday like clockwork at 2:45. Every Monday, Peter Carlin, dude, I can't
believe you're not watching Lost.
And then he gets even snippier, if such a thing is possible, about the fact that I haven't watched the show. That's a show that I started watching because everybody on the goddamn planet was viewing it, and I felt like I was like the only one that wasn't. Okay, I'm just gonna read a few emails, and then we have Jim Rube coming up, and I swear to God, and then the show's off for like another, whatever, like 3-4 months, whenever the hell American Idol, it's gone, right? It's not coming back.
Oh,
later.
I thought you were talking about us for a minute.
Yes, and then the show, well...
Nobody told me.
He's playing his program director role
the
now.
The day is, Yes, this was all a test.
Oh, you really scared him.
No, this was all a test.
Oh.
You were trying to see...
I haven't checked my email.
Yes, Les Moonves sent out a... everybody must watch one of the following three shows or you're fired. Rick, this email says, American Idol is entertainment for idiotic trailer trash. Sarah is right. All right. Note that I'm not disagreeing with any of these statements, by the way. This is why I have been unfairly painted as a guy who somehow has become converted to a huge... I mean, it was painful. It was causing me physical agony to watch it. My only observation, the irony of this whole thing is that the observation that started this whole stupid cavalcade of goddamn American Idol talk was my observation at 12:05 that I watched it and hated it, but it was like a meal made by somebody that you have to be nice to, and you just plowed your way through it. I watched all of it, hating every single moment, sitting there loathing it and loathing myself for watching it.
You should have learned that the first time you did it.
Ugh.
You went back and did it again, Rick.
Rick, never seen it, never will. Everyone that enjoys American Idol should be rounded up and gassed.
I believe that's 30 million. Oh, we'll have to get Saddam to take care of that.
Well, have to get some vans. I'm with Sarah, by the way. American Idol is another example of why they hate us. How about this? This is no surprise, Christian from Cunning. I also, Rick, loathe the whole concept of American Idol. I will comment more later. How about this? Where the hell did it go? This is from Todd the Corpse.
Come on!
Sarah is not the only one. I hate American Idol. I watched a couple episodes this year because I had to... Listen! I watched a couple episodes this year, does this sound like anybody we know? Because I had to. And the whole hour-long show has 15 minutes of content, 45 minutes of ads. Then they recap 15 minutes with the content the very next day and another hour-long show with zero new content and 45 minutes of ads. And the thing I hate is that the second the season is over, no one cares about who won again. Who remembers Ruben Studdard? Stay strong, Sarah, says Todd the Corpse.
See, and I that I have a huge love for Kelly Clarkson, but I never watched her on American Idol. I just listened to her album.
At least I never gave her $1.99 for buying her ringtone.
You know what? She wrote those songs. She wasn't just singing.
I'm just saying.
Whatever the Beatles.
And you missed Meatloaf singing last night.
Oh,
by
yeah.
the way.
He looks the same as he has for the past 30 years.
Boy, yeah.
I mean, he had plastic surgery.
He is not aging at
flat.
All, but he was kind of limping. Did you notice that? He was all kind of waddling a little bit.
He was staggering.
And he was sweating. I mean, I know he's a fat man throwing himself around on stage, but it's Meatloaf. No, but here's the thing. Meatloaf.
What song did he sing?
See, I'm not going to tell you. As punishment, I'm not going to tell you now.
Fine.
But he came out. And it's like, he hadn't even opened his mouth, freaking drenched in sweat, like through his clothing. It's like, ladies and gentlemen, Meatloaf, and like literally the walk from the curtain to like the front of the stage, just dripping, just covered in sweat.
He might have been running from the Greyhound bus station.
Please don't say it was a montage.
No, it was only one song. No, he's saying it's all coming back to me now.
Oh, cool.
But he's become a really terrible singer in his old age. I love Meatloaf, but he has become a very, very bad singer. He can't really sing anymore, and so he tries to overcompensate by doing all of that fake vibrato. It was pretty awful.
I told you that my friend was married to his daughter, right?
Yeah. Oh, can we talk about that now? Are they divorced?
Don't say who it is.
I don't even know. I don't remember the guy's
name. Okay, yeah.
Make up a name.
Yeah, they're long since divorced, and she's remarried to the guy from, the guy with the really long, weird beard.
Colonel Sanders.
He's in a metal band.
Dusty Hill. I don't know.
Oh, one of
Father Murphy.
A really long beard. Anthrax.
Scott Ian?
Yeah.
What? I'm confused. Who's married to Scott Ian?
No, my
friend Meatloaf's daughter?
No, my guy friend was married to Meatloaf's daughter. And then, but now they divorce and she's since remarried to that guy from Anthrax.
This whole show has become one big star magazine today.
But I guess Meatloaf was a jerk. And it kind of broke my heart to hear that.
Maybe they just cut him on a bad day.
This is like some radio version of In Touch magazine today.
Yeah, from like 1982.
Best show ever.
And Meatloaf.
And Diane Carroll was wearing shoulder pads last night.
More about Steven Seagal.
All right. Okay. Well, anyway, it's like 120. let's see. Rick, it is people like you with your weakness that keep crap like this on the air. American Idol should have been stopped at the first season. I've seen more talent behind the counter at 7-Eleven. You are pathetic. For this fact alone, as well as starting off the show with a song that is still stuck in my head, you should force Sarah to say something hot. Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. In just a moment, I will read this. Now, where is this from? This story about the Osmond sex talk. I'll read it.
Maybe marieosmond.com, something like that.
Oh, it is from, no, this is from, I'm reading the story. This is from some news site. Contact Music is where this
is. Yeah,
they
have real stories most of the time.
All right, okay, so it's probably not made up.
No.
Okay. And then we got this Horns Across the Willamette that we can talk about that. We got a bunch of bridge measurements because we had this whole, because we are now 12 days away from 666, from June 6th, 2006. And we had this whole debate about whether we were going to be over just the water part of the bridge or whether it was where the bridge, like, ramps up and how many people it was going to take to cover the Hawthorne Bridge. Because the deal is that we want to get, because, you know, if you're going over the bridge, there's the pedestrian, the walkway, the sidewalk on the bridge. So we're going to be on the north side of the bridge. We're going to gather there at 5:30. There's that little grassy knoll down there.
The north side of the bridge?
Yeah, the north side that faces north.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about either end.
I thought the bridge is east and west.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, but it's the walkway that faces north. Because that way we can get a photo from down on the Esplanade. So so at 5:30 on June 6th, we'll have a little station vehicle and a tent, whatever, so you can see it. So we'll gather there at 5:30. Everybody goes up. We line up. And then at 6:06, we'll do the big devil horns, and then we'll retire to Dante's, where everybody will spin the pentagram
prizes.
So
who's going to be taking the picture?
I think our man Jason Crump is going to be doing that.
Oh, that's going to look so awesome.
Love that guy. He's the guy that absorbed the fetus in the womb. Mm-hmm. Were you not here that day? Oh, never mind. I thought we told you that story. Didn't you get that memo? Well, I'll tell you later.
We should break.
No, I got to read this internet. This Osmond sex talk story.
Oh,
or don't
yeah.
you want to hear it?
Oh, I do.
I do.
Anyway, but we got to figure out how many people we're looking to get, and like how many, how wide the average person is, and then how long the bridge is.
Yeah, because I was riding my bike over the Hawthorne Bridge yesterday after the show, and I saw a listener, and he's just like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I am trying to figure out how many people it's going to take to span this, because this is long."
And see, and I don't know if I think we should just do the section that's over the water, though.
I think we should just do whatever.
Most bridges
section.
Do go over the water.
All right. Thank you. Osmond shocked by daughter's internet sex talk. Do we have the appropriate, porn?
Of course.
Nothing. The appropriate news bed for this?
Yes.
All right. This is from, I'd like to thank, by the way, our good friend.
This is Blind to Coin 6.
No. I'd like to thank Aaron.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Geek in the City for sending us some Contact Music. Osmond shocked by daughter's internet sex talk. Pop star turned doll maker. What?
Yeah, she sells dolls on QVC.
Oh, no.
That's what she told Larry King.
Between cackling with maniacal laughter about her dead husband and her postpartum depression.
And her house burning down.
Jesus will get me through. Pop star turned doll maker Marie Osmond has launched a personal crusade to clean up the internet. After learning her two teenage daughters have been posting sexually explicit correspondence on their MySpace.com. Look at that. I don't even get the words out of my mouth, and Sarah's leaping to the keyboard.
What's your daughter's name?
You have to wait. I've been posting sexually explicit correspondence on their MySpace.com website. The singer of Paper Roses felt compelled to give a statement to U.S. tabloid National Enquirer after the publication uncovered outrageous content on her daughters, Jessica and Rachel. On her site, 18-year-old Jessica, who was adopted by Osmond as an infant, claims she is a bisexual. She is a gay who craves sex as many times as possible, while her 16-year-old sister, Rachel, describes herself as a, quote, slut.
Oh, my God.
And quote, a whore. In correspondence, and opened up about her dreams of having sex with David Bowie. In her statement, a shocked Marie, a devout Mormon, says, I am saddened by some of the choices the two of our children have made. The insidious potential for harm from adolescent internet sites like MySpace only exacerbates these kinds of problems. If my being a celebrity figure is good for anything, let it be as a voice of warning to other parents that no matter how protective we think we may have been with our children in the past, we need to become more knowledgeable and even more vigilant now to protect them. All right. Aaron notes by saying, I would still totally hit that Marie Osmond. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We'll be back after this. We got CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgartner in the way later on. Jen Lane, top five songs most likely to be stuck in your head. You stay right there. The Rick Emerson Show continues after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Also, none of us saw Mission Impossible 3, to the best of my knowledge. No. Sarah?
Nope.
Yeah, there you go.
No attention to so.
All right, good times. RV, anyone?
Uh-uh.
Nope. All right.
I did buy Us Weekly last week, though.
See, this is the other thing. Now, look, this is the thing. I was sitting on the couch last night, and as the two-hour American Idol is sort of rolling by, and I'm sitting there, and I'm going, and I'm bitching, and I'm moaning about it, and I'm complaining, and yet I'm still watching it, and my wife accused me of being uppity. Lara accused me, and I apologize, she gave me all the shit at work, but she accused me of being like a snob, and of being elitist, and being, but just completely untrue. In no way am I an elitist, or I am not above things. Because you will note that I'm a guy that I spend like $9 a month buying the National Enquirer. I'm clearly above almost no one and nothing. So, right, what have I got right here? This brand new issue of People. By the way, if you've seen the new issue of People magazine, this is on the front. I don't know if it's still new one, if it's replaced, but it's the 100 most beautiful people. And so it's got Angelina Jolie in the front looking, you know, computer generated as she always does. And then like the worst picture ever of Richie Sambora. I mean, just like terrible. He's kind of like a Kid Rock gone to seed. Look at that photo. Yeah. Okay, but then listen to this. Listen to this headline. Picture Carney Wilson. See if you can spot the logistical flaw in this headline. Carney Wilson, quote, reveals, end quote, her battles with food. is there anyone out there that is surprised or shocked or stunned and amazed and appalled that, first of all, I don't really think she battled with food. I think that was food in one. That was sort of match point game to food. So I think when you go in and they're super gluing sections of your gigantic stomach shut, that really is a one-sided battle. So anyway, and I will not, never mind. We don't have time. Let's do this and go to CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten, who is there in Manhattan on the ground, ear to the floor, nose to the thing, a grindstone pressing against something else. I was just talking gibberish there. I was just filling the meter waiting for the post. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. How are you, Rick?
It's been a difficult day.
It has.
It's been a strange week. It's been a weird day inside of a weird week. I will not recap all the unpleasantness, but I will just say that in the space of an hour, Sarah accused me of being a sellout. Someone else, let's see, we found out that one of Marie Osmond's daughters refers to her. Well, it's a whole thing. Have you heard of this story, this MySpace story about Marie Osmond's daughters?
No.
Apparently there's some, I know you're not a fan of the MySpace, but
no, I am not.
There's a story that came out today that apparently Marie Osmond, and she's a little nutty. You see Marie Osmond, and it is clear that She is either on way too much medication or far too little medication. I'm not really sure what it is, but she needs to adjust her dosage, whatever it may be. And apparently there was some unpleasantness because her daughters, one of whom is 18, one of them is 16, they have MySpace accounts. And apparently one of the daughters filled up her MySpace account with endless ruminations about how she would like to have sex with David Bowie. And I believe in some sort of graphic detail. So now Marie Osmond's day has gotten a little bit worse. So there you go. So you, at least you're not her. Whatever way you're going wrong in your life, you are not Marie Osmond today.
So did Sarah and your wife compare notes so that they can throw insults at you?
No, my wife is unavailable today, which is just as well.
No, it's just an unpleasant American Idol.
Because I watched American Idol last night for the second time. The show has been on for like 5 years.
Right.
I watched it twice. I watched it on Queen Week, and I watched it last night, and I made the mistake of revealing that, and it was like I told Sarah that I spent my morning killing puppies. It was, you know, what'd you do last night? Smothered kittens. I mean, it's exactly what it was like. So, we're just going to move it. Did you watch American Idol last night?
I did not.
Well, all right. In any event.
And he's a newsman.
Oh, my God, Tim gets a free pass, by the way, for watching American
Idol. But, you know, today I did interview somebody about it.
All right.
But I did not see it myself.
Let's never speak of it again.
Okay.
All right. Hey, so is it... I got this story here, and I was already pointing out the flaws in this. This is from CNN, who says, are you happy with your car? And then they say, more than a third of drivers surveyed by Consumer Reports say they want a more fuel-efficient car. Clearly, that's a lie, because if Americans wanted more fuel-efficient cars, they would simply buy more fuel-efficient cars.
Well, you know, I drive an SUV. I drive a V8, a Ford Explorer. I love it, but I got to tell you, I'm thinking about downsizing myself.
Yeah,
so maybe it's reflective of a trend, because it wouldn't be so bad if it weren't for all the traffic jams. I don't know how it is in Portland, but around here, you're stuck in traffic.
I can't fathom why, if you're in New York, you'd be buying an SUV. There's no room to drive or park or do anything.
Well, because I use it to go out on a side. I figured, you know, if there's a big snowstorm or something, I drive. You know, I can get out there and cover it, you know, if I have to go up to New England or something, I got a vehicle that can handle it. So, but the thing is, it wouldn't be so bad. The mileage really isn't all that bad if you're on the open highway, you know, cutting across the country or something.
Right.
But, oh my God, you know, if you're in stop and go traffic trying to get through the Lincoln Tunnel or 10th Avenue or Broadway or something, it's, you know, you just almost can watch the gas gauge go down, 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 and I'm just thinking about, well, maybe I need to get something like a Ford Escape, which is, well, it's a four-wheel drive vehicle, doesn't have much space, but at least it'll get me through the snow, and it won't guzzle up my gas.
Now, see, here is my opinion that for everything an SUV does, there is a more fuel-efficient vehicle that does an equally good job at that.
Right.
You know, because here, I have this personal theory, and I am not trying to cast aspersions on you, Gary
yeah.
Baumgarten, as a man, as an individual. But it seems to me, this was my read on the situation,
uh-huh.
It seems to me that SUVs are station wagons for guys who don't want to be seen driving a station wagon.
Well, I don't even think there are station wagons anymore except little Ford Focuses or something. Or Volvo makes a station wagon.
Tim, you live in the suburbs. Do they make station wagons anymore?
I have seen a Mercedes station wagon.
Really?
Oh, that's that one that Carmela Soprano drives. I've driven that. The E240, I think it's called. I've driven that car, actually, that station wagon. That's a fine ride, is what they did. But I would never buy it. I would never drive it for any length of time. That was one of those Brad the Car Guy things that he hooked me up with. I would never allow anybody to see me driving that car. So,
well, according to the survey, one-third of Americans want to downsize to a more fuel-efficient vehicle, and half of that one-third are considering hybrids. The thing that's keeping people from flocking over to the Toyota dealer to get one of the hybrids is that the cost of the hybrid is maybe $2,000 more than a comparable conventional vehicle.
Man, my wife and I went to look at a Prius, and they tried to jack me for like $25,000 to
ridiculous.
Buy that thing.
And
it was a waiting list. And it was a waiting list.
They're
like, would you like to wait 4 months to give us, you know, $25,000
right.
to start with? And I said, no, I would not, thank
and
you.
And here's a little secret. If you keep the vehicle, everybody says, I would never do that. But if you keep the vehicle for like 5 years or something,
yeah.
I've been told by an auto engineer that it costs you $2,000 or $3,000 to replace the battery.
Because the battery, well, that's like with the iPod. Everybody who has an iPod has that coming to them sometime in the future, too. Because when the iPod is not like some of the other jukebox. When your battery goes out of that thing, Apple is going to screw you to replace that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh, there's some new little sneaker-sized car called a Yaris.
Oh, God. It's not like it's not something else made in, you know, the like the Balkan Republic or something.
I don't know.
Is
it could be.
All right.
And then one of the other alternatives is potentially diesel, which is more fuel efficient. And nowadays, most places, diesel is less costly than unleaded fuel. But some states, I think 8 states in all, won't allow you to buy a diesel-powered vehicle because of the emissions issue.
Well, and
oh,
I know
and I
know that here in the Northwest they are talking about, because in the Northwest this is like hippie town. I mean,
right,
it's like,
right.
There's just crunchy guys everywhere here. And so in the Northwest, in Washington, I know, and I think in Oregon, they're talking about doing this horrific thing where if you buy a hybrid, it's going to come mandated, they come with a GPS in it, and then the government will track your mileage and bill you accordingly.
No.
Because they get, it's true. Because
no,
they,
come on.
This is, now, listen now, this is not a conspiracy thing. This is like actual proposed legislation, because they know that they're going to be getting fewer tax dollars because you're going to be buying less gas. And so they're gonna want to put GPSs in hybrids, and they will tax you by the mile in Washington State.
That's ridiculous.
It's completely true. The man's hands are everywhere, Gary.
Well, guess what? I'm registering my vehicle if I move to Washington State in another state.
That's
you can't do that to me.
That's what I'm saying. All right,
yeah.
Gary. If I don't speak to you, have a good weekend, my friend.
You
we'll
too.
Talk to you
have
soon.
Have a safe and enjoyable holiday.
All right, there you go. That's Gary Baumgarten live in the New York City. There you go. Hey, did you find the Marie Osmond her kids MySpace page?
No, I'm still looking for it.
Oh, that's too
bad. Our computers are so slow.
I know.
Yeah.
Somebody cut off the finger of a glove and made a dress for Angelina Jolie's. Have you seen this?
There you go. She kind of looks like, you know who she looks like? Carmen Electra. Mm-hmm. They kind of have that same sort of weird, crazy, hot vibe thing going on. All right. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to your personal savior, Tim Riley. You know where he is? It's the City Desk.
From higher down to the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Well, the president has stepped into the Justice Department's constitutional confrontation with Congress and ordered the documents seized in an FBI raid on the congressman's office to be sealed for 45 days. The president directed that no one involved in the investigation have access to the documents under seal and that remain in the custody of the Solicitor General. Bush's move is described as an attempt to cool off the heated confrontation between the administration and leaders of the House and Senate. This is about the guy who had the cash in his refrigerator.
Oh, the $90,000 guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's probably more of that out there.
Excellent.
From Lake Stevens, Washington, comes word that high school athletes will have to pee to play. The school board there voted to start random drug testing of high school athletes. About half the 13 people who spoke on the issue at last night's meeting were against random testing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That surprises me. Where mm-hmm. is this?
Lake Stevens, Washington.
Where is Lake Stevens at?
I don't know.
We haven't heard of it. It's got to be some tiny little hick town. It amazes me that many people are opposed to rent. Because normally, man, and you know how it is. Normally, everybody is, they're all in favor of that. You go to some small little town, everybody wants everybody tested for everything. And so, there you
go. We're looking at everyone's keyholes.
Well, I read that. We read that story. I guess, I don't know if we read it or not, but I saw it together. It's a story about it's like Oklahoma, like one of those horrible states. You know, if you have bad karma when you die, that's where you're going to be born. It's like you're going to come out of the chute there in the delivery room, and they're going to be like, hello, welcome to Akron, you know, and that's going to be where you spend the next 18 years. Something in Oklahoma where kids can now be kicked out of school for what they write on their MySpace account, even if it has nothing to do with school, even if it has nothing to do with any teacher, any other student, even if the content is completely separate from school, that they can be booted out. For all of that stuff. So, nothing like stripping away those civil liberties, you know, early on. You just take them away before the kids get used to having them.
Well, chocolate lovers rejoice. A new study hints that eating milk chocolate may boost your brain functions. Chocolate contains many substances that act as stimulants, such as theobromine and phenethylamine and caffeine, says Dr. Brian Radenbush of the Jesuit University of West Virginia. Like, that's some place where people do a lot of research. These substances by themselves have previously been found to increase alertness and attention. And we have found that consuming chocolate can get you stimulating results.
Scam. This is a complete scam.
Well, it's an effort to keep the West Virginia University open, apparently.
Well, this is like that. Have you seen that new chocolate that I think it's M&M Mars is putting out? It's called Heart Chocolate or Health Chocolate or something like that. It's the same crap. It's just the same crap chocolate that they've wrapped in the thing and they put like the Red Heart logo on it because they found some study somewhere. This is how they do it. They found some study somewhere that said that like caffeine was good for your heart. Well, caffeine is in like 900 different thousand products. But what they, because they found some study that, like, the American Heart Association put out, they say that moderate doses of caffeine are good for you. So now they are marketing this chocolate bar. A chocolate bar that has an untold number of calories in it, but they, like, they go, and they put their, they stamp their red heart on it, and they're marketing this now as a health food. Cause that's what Americans need to do to be healthy. They need to consume even more calories. They need to shove more candy into their face.
Meanwhile, this headline says Taylor Hicks is not exactly TRL material. Just who does he think he is? What kids will buy records if he puts them out anyway? I guess that's a question on everyone's mind and the music business as well. Because Kelly Clarkson is the only one that's been successful.
Well, nobody from that show has sold any records at all, have they? I mean, Kelly Clarkson is, and as much as I was making fun of your ringtone, I mean, I have that Kelly Clarkson song, that Since You've Been Gone, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great song. I saw
the
her.
The whole album's awesome.
She did that at the VMAs, is that where she did that?
Yeah, when she got doused in water.
The Emmys or something. She had the Aerosmith shirt on or whatever, and she was looking all hot and whatever, and she was running around and barefoot, and that's a great song. It's not a bad song at all.
It's called an insanely catchy single.
It really is. Not least of which because I've had to hear it 10,000 goddamn times coming up. Here, you have your phone? Here, hold up your phone to the okay. To the microphone. Skipping. What's that?
The record started skipping.
All right, hold on. Let me, all right. This is Sarah Dillon's ringtone, ladies and gentlemen. And, here's, I'm now dialing her phone. Oh, what is that about? Is that your? Is that the
it's
function?
It's my crappy razor.
And it's brand new.
So it's sort of a sporadic. Yeah. There you go. It's like an iPod on shuffle, kids. All right, so there you go. So it's not a bad song, and I have no problem with that, but nobody else from that show has sold. Who has bought any record by anybody who's been on that program? You mentioned Joni DeRoshi. She's nuts for American Idol. She has been forever. She and her whole family, they watch every episode, they vote, they go online, they do the whole thing, they watch the recaps. But I don't think they bought a single record by anybody who's been on that program, because the music is crap. The music is terrible. And I mean, last night, I'm watching every new fresh horror unfold. I mean, like with the Meatloaf thing, you know what I mean? And then Prince is there, and then they're murdering the U2 song, and it really is enough to make your soul bleed.
Well, the problem is, he is going to have a hard time selling himself as more than a glorified bar band guy, and he'll never sell himself as a fresh-faced upstart, rendering wide-eyed and baffled by the big world of fame.
He's got that voice, though. Chicks dig that kind of voice. He's got the low, kind of scrapey,
yeah,
kind of soul
like older
man
guys.
Voice.
I think he might be okay.
He should quit pretending that he's 29, for one thing, because that's not going to work. It is an interesting... The thing about that show is though, that it is presumably marketed at younger people, and yet everybody they bring on is like some 50-year-old adult contemporary artist. Like they had Manilow, they had Queen, they had Kenny Rogers.
I guess they have to sing songs from the Playtone catalog. And nothing else.
Diane Dane?
Anybody know what we're talking about?
Tom Hanks humor there. Mr. Downtown.
That was a great song. Say,
we're now just doing jokes for like each other and like one guy out there somewhere who knows what we're talking about.
Say, we found a former singer who hasn't had a facelift yet. Guess who it is? Joan Baez.
Oh, man. She does. She looks bad. She looks like a piece of bark.
She looks like your school librarian, but she has good teeth.
Yeah. Dylan got her when she was still young and hot.
Well, apparently she can still climb up trees in Los Angeles, along with famous tree sitter Julie the Butterfly Hill, to prevent a local garden from being sold and destroyed. She's 65.
There is nothing that makes me want to go cut down trees faster than to see some natty-haired hippie living up there. You know what I mean? I don't care. Like,
why don't you let them live happily in their trees?
Because you can't live in a tree. Who lives in trees?
Trey Arrow did before he went to jail.
I hate that guy. Trey Arrow and his stupid box full of waste.
Anymore.
That guy, can you get me a coffee can? I have to use it. Sitting on a ledge... Whizzing into a coffee can.
Ugh.
And lowering it to the groupies who happily destroyed it.
Trey, can I have a coffee can? I can't believe you're urine! Come on,
well, they
man.
Were looking forward to bigger and better things once he got down. That's why they agreed to do it.
Imagine having sex with that guy. Imagine sleeping with a man who's been living on a ledge for 3 weeks, doing his business into a rusted coffee can. Who looks at that and goes, oh, sexy. Who says Osman style, I'm going to be a slut for that guy?
Somebody in a beat-up 1960 Volkswagen bus, that's who.
somebody who reeks of, like, patchouli and aphids. Yeah, so Juliana the butterfly, whatever, and didn't she sit in a tree here somewhere?
Oh, she probably has.
And she's she going on a tour. She's like, sitting, yeah, I'll come to your town and sit in a tree if you have a donut. And do you have $15? I'll sit in a tree for you. So now Joan Baez is living. It sounds like a goddamn joke. So now Joan Baez is living in the tree with her?
Yeah. She moved to the tree. With all her bags, apparently.
Okay. It's like some sort of a horrible Swiss Family Robinson in hell kind of a thing.
This is a 600-year-old tree.
Okay. All right. Do we have some, speaking of Joan Baez, do you have that Dylan story?
I believe I do here
we
somewhere.
It was his birthday yesterday.
No, that's right. Oh, I have a piece of sound about that. Hold on.
I don't. What did I do with it?
No, I have. Well, while you're looking for that, I do have some. Wait, this is from CNN, I believe. Hold on.
Oh, yes, I do. I'm sorry.
Let me play this.
I'm here all the time.
Bob Dylan made his New York City debut on April 11th, 1961, and he hasn't looked back since.
One of the greatest artists that America's ever produced, there's no question. He's certainly one of its greatest voices as a songwriter and as a poet.
Howard Kramer with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum says Dylan's work remains as influential as ever.
All of his songwriters are invariably compared to him, for better or for worse, and that's a big responsibility to carry on your shoulders, but when you set the standard that high, you got to consider yourself lucky.
Dylan was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1988.
He remains cranky and unlikable. All right, there you go. I'm not busting on him as a songwriter. Give me that evil eye.
I laughed. That was funny because you had it exactly like the CNN guy.
No, you know what?
He is cranky. I started reading his biography and I stopped because I was starting to not like him.
He's cranky and spooky is what he is. Do you have the Dylan story?
I do.
Do that, and then I'll play Adam West talking about his prostate, and then we'll break.
That sounds good. Cate Blanchett and Bob Dylan in his... Oh, will play Bob Dylan in his androgynous phase. Apparently had one. In a new biopic of the great songwriter's life. Dylan just turned 65, which is the same age as Joan Baez. But even as he shows up everywhere else in books, films, and even a Broadway musical, Dylan, who has sought seclusion and mystery all his life, remains as a... As ever.
This whole story is just terrible.
Who wrote this?
I don't know, look at me.
It's lacking verbs and pronouns. And somebody just came in here from Russia, apparently. Dylan has clearly shrunk down for retirement age, taking on a new job as a radio DJ, publishing a selection of his memoirs, musing in a Martin Scorsese documentary, authorizing a stage musical of his songs, and appearing in an advertisement for the Victoria's Secret lingerie store.
I believe it's pronounced Scorsese.
Oh, I don't know him personally. Mystery surrounds the upcoming biopic film on Dylan by director Todd Haynes, who earlier took great liberties with the life of rock star David Bowie in the 1998 movie Velvet Goldmine. It's an awful long story.
Let's be done.
Now he is recruiting an all-star cast for his Dylan film, I Am Not There, in which six or seven actors will play the star in different facets of his life and personality. Dylan has agreed to let Haynes film his biography.
Okay.
Is that enough?
Yes.
Thank you.
Let's play Adam West talking about his prostate now.
Actor Adam West is front and center with the Unmasking BPH campaign, which raises awareness about prostate issues.
My wife finally urged me to go to a urologist, which I did, and now I'm taking a little tablet called Uroxetral.
And a little drinky poo.
And things are pretty good.
The former star of Batman is glad he paid that visit to the doctor.
I hate to use the word relief, because I don't have to relieve myself so much.
For more info, go to talkaboutbph.com.
Well, I don't want to hear that.
He won't be sliding down the bat pole for a while, will he?
Okay. We should break now. It's a Rick Emerson Show. Hey, we'll be back after this. Coming up, Jen Lane is going to be here for Barfly Magazine. Top five songs that are likely to get stuck in your head. We'll talk more about Horns Across the Hawthorne, which is coming up in 12 days. And what celebrity were Sarah and I convinced was dead this morning? We'll tell you after this. It's AM 970 Tele-Tape Radio.